Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review. This is week 5, where we are reviewing Captain America, the First Avenger. This beautiful show is available in many places. If you want to watch the video, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to podcast services all around the globe. That's thanks to you, Mr. Greg Miller.
How many LaCroix's do you need, and so why are two of them open?
Here's the thing, guys.
Oh, there are two open.
There are two open.
He likes to smell one while drinking another one.
No,
the same smell.
I was about to finish one as I got here, so I had to bring another two.
One of them is a moisturizer.
You can look up Kinda Funny Reviews on podcasts to listen to this, like a lot of you have been doing, and we thank you for that. Otherwise, the show, yeah, subscribe and like and rate and review and all that stuff on podcast services and on YouTube. That'd be very nice. youtube.com/kindoffunny. Every Tuesday at 9 a.m., a new episode of this show goes up, leading into Avengers Infinity War in early May. What show are we going to, or what movies are we going to do after that? I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. Let us know
Superman
suggestions
movies.
In the comments like if you would like to see us continue this series. I'm having a great time with it. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I'm thinking the Trolls franchise.
Maybe. Yeah.
Trolls franchise. It's a one movie, and then I think
there's two.
Is it really?
Justin Timberlake did the song for it. Don't be so quick.
No, that's Trolls.
Wrong way. Yes, I'm Tim Gettys. This is Andy Cortez. That's Kevin Coelho. That's Greg Miller. And rounding out this beautiful quintet.
Yeah.
Nick Scarpino. Quintet,
yeah. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
And also, thanks for having Justin Timberlake on the show, too.
My God.
Today was Spider-Man. This afternoon, it's Justin Timberlake.
Cool, Greg. Did you finish watching Trolls?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Trolls getting good review already.
Where does it come down against the Smurfs movie that you hold as the top animated film of 2017?
Was it really your top animated movie of 2017?
It certainly
Captain
was.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Are
you singing the Marine song?
No. Released on July 19th, 2011. Mm. Now for a little frame of reference here, Thor came out just 2 months before, on May 11th, 2011.
Huge miss not doing July 4th weekend.
True.
Wow. Yeah, right? Huge miss. Yeah.
I'm guessing there was something else big happening that weekend that they didn't want to compete
with. Yeah, I
wonder.
Also, I'm sure it performed very, very well regardless.
It did.
Yeah.
Shockingly, not as well as Thor. Going in here,
Thor.
With a budget of $140 million, Thor had $150 million. Box office of $370.6 million. Thor, $449.3 million.
So Thor did...
Thor did better.
Okay.
A lot better.
I mean, that's not entirely surprising to me. Again,
really?
Going back to this time period, how many people really, really gave a shit about Captain America, right?
That's the same about Thor.
I would think more gave a shit about Captain America than Thor.
Captain
really?
America,
because at least
the First Avenger.
But who was more popular?
But like, who knew what the Avengers were? Remember, like my personal touchstone was always Marvel Comics. If you're talking about a team up, it's the X-Men. Right, Avengers, and this is me never reading comics growing up, there was never an Avengers cartoon property that I could remember. There was never really, like, none of them played into any of the popular cartoons from my childhood. So when I go to the theater, I'm thinking Captain America is like a second-tier Marvel character. Who is this person?
I mean,
Thor, at least I knew because the word Thor, like, you know from, like, a Norse mythology. And I'm like, all right, plus Chris Hemsworth, shout out. What's
Chris
up?
Chris Evans, though. I just feel like having the First Avenger subtitle
would
sell a lot more because it's for the people that don't, they're like, okay, Avengers, I get it, it's a team up. I get it's a thing. I know we're building towards it.
They should have called it
be the introduction.
Captain America, Iron Man's friend.
We're getting the
because
former
cared
Human
about Iron
Torch,
Man.
Nick.
True.
Very I think, true. Yeah, that's true. Enough. That's very true.
I agree with Nick in that, like, I feel like at the time I was like Avengers, like I knew I had Marvel Ultimate in my mind, but like I feel like we only started reading, or at least I only started reading that because you were like, "Hey,
Ultimate's good."
Yeah,
no, and
read,
totally.
Well, I mean, it was even really it was just Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and it's like you were like, "Hey, I'm reading the Spider-Man shit. You should check it out." And then we found the rest.
But I mean, all that stuff that was way after this, and that's the thing. It was like,
really?
Yeah, these movies. It wasn't
so,
until
at this point. Then like I'm sure that we saw this and we're like,
Yeah, totally. But it was just exciting
to
build towards this thing.
We did grow up like Avengers was not like in part of our child. Yeah, it was.
No, but it was the idea of it, the promise
and that's
of it.
Probably why Fox, you know, owned X-Men, because we grew up watching X-Men, so that did make sense. When those movies came out, we were really hyped.
Everyone was hyped. Fucking X-Men. Well, also Wolverine, like the most popular Marvel characters.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think the cartoon series was a Fox property as well, right?
Yes,
correct.
Like they had done things with that property prior to 2000.
But you got to look at it. Like the reason that Marvel sold the rights to Spider-Man and X-Men is because they're the most popular the popular thing.
They needed money.
So the MCU is totally being built on what they had at this moment. Mm-hmm. Directed by Joe Johnston.
Yeah. What else did he do?
Now let me run y'all through a list.
Because for when I was watching it, I was like, oh man, the Russo brothers were rough here. And then I remember they didn't come in until Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So I forgot. I have no idea who Joe Johnston is.
Yeah, so Joe Johnston used to do a lot of special effects and VFX on some movies like Jurassic Park and Star Wars.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah. So those
Star Wars, the Academy Award winning Star Wars.
Don't hold that.
He also worked on Star Wars, the Endor Ewok planet movies.
Sure he did. Fuck yeah.
Let's move past that. Let's keep going. That nobody wants to.
He directed Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No
great
shit.
Movie.
He directed
great movie.
The Pagemaster.
Oh my
the
God. Another good movie.
Yeah. He directed Jumanji.
Did he? Wow.
And I'm like, wow, this motherfucker is just knocking out. And he also directed Jurassic Park 3. So, hey, they're not all winners. But you know what? I'll defend Jurassic Park 3 as being not that bad.
I mean, if you like Jurassic World, it's on the same level.
Here's my big question for you, Tim. Because I think out of everyone at this table, you're the only one who's seen Jumanji. Is the Robin Williams Jumanji the good Jumanji or the bad Jumanji now?
No, don't stop. That's, come on. You can't.
They're so different. Hey, but real talk, shout out to the new Jumanji.
How dare you?
Don't throw stones in a house of...
Stones, because then you won't know where the stone went.
He was also the art designer. I was reading the trivia. He was also. Were you getting there?
Which one?
On
Johnson. Joe Johnson over here.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept like there was a bunch of little things that like oh that's similar to the Raiders.
So after he holds the Tesseract in his hands, Johann Schmidt, aka the Red Skull, makes a comment about how the Führer. Searches the desert for trinkets. That has to be an indirect mention to the Lost Ark of the Covenant from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Not only does it infer to another supernatural relic that will supposedly bestow upon its owner incalculable power. Raiders of the Lost Ark was one of the movies that Captain America director Joe Johnston worked on as special effects supervisor. Johnston won an Oscar for that game.
That's actually historically too true. Anna Fittler was actually known for looking for lost relics like the Spear of Destiny and things like that, just because he thought it'd give him the power to kill everyone else.
Makes a lot of sense. The director's kind of lineage moving into this movie, it's like, that's interesting, you know, because it's a lot of like really kind of children movie focused things going on. Classics, 90s classics, I would say.
Not the hard hitting drama that is
Captain America.
Pagemaster.
I don't know
what Pagemaster
is.
You've never seen Pagemaster?
It's like an animated in real, like
Space Jam.
He's real in the cartoon and then he becomes a cartoon. It's like,
Who framed Roger Ayer?
Cool World. They knocked it out of the park with Cool World.
Cool World.
Brad Pitt.
Cool World.
I don't know what Cool World is.
Mm-mm. Oh my God. Cool World was like, I shouldn't be watching this. My parents will think I'm trying to watch like pornographic stuff, but
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like kind of ripoff. It was Brad Pitt where he was like a detective in cartoon world. It was
really weird. Really like attractive cartoon women. Like,
hey, you know,
how far did they go?
All the way. He was 69 in these cartoons.
Christ.
2 weeks ago when we did.
Give it a lip service.
Where was it? Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Greg Miller gave a riveting plot synopsis of that movie. And then last week I had Nick over there do the synopsis for Thor.
Yeah.
I tasked Andy Cortez this week.
Time to raise the bar
for the plot
Marvel Watchers.
Of Captain America, the first Avenger.
I took a lot of notes. I watched the movie last night and then I realized I'm not good at remembering things in chronological order.
You're so pretty though.
At all.
This makes a lot more sense. When you were like, I'm taking notes, I was like, dude, like we don't like this isn't a test, man.
Yeah, like I just don't know.
Well, also this is one of those where they do kind of skip around a lot as far as like time. Like it starts in modern time. Well, actually not modern time, I guess it starts.
So they skip around once.
No, it does start in modern time.
Yeah. You see the frozen.
Now not modern anymore.
Shield.
Not
modern
anymore,
you're right.
Pops back.
So
little guy.
Let me put on my old glasses here, everybody.
Put on the spectacles.
Start reading from these notes, all right? So the movie starts off, and they are in the Arctic, right?
Mm.
It's very cold. Frigid,
hot
one would say.
Mm-hmm.
Snow everywhere. And the scientists are walking. They're like, what are we doing? Something crashed here. Was it a comet? Was it a UFO?
Blitzen?
All of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that it's just giant thing that's crashed in the ground. You don't really know what it is at this point. But they are able
to... big.
It's huge. Oh, it's massive.
They keep thinking they're going to just haul it away.
It starts off like a little tiny thing. Yeah. Starts off a little like thing. And they do the zoom out. It's like, oh, this is a giant thing that's in the snow, in the ice. They eventually go in there and they see, and he's like, hey, bro, you're going to want to call this one in or something like that. And
it's 3 in the morning. I'm
not going to wake the general at 3 in the morning. He's like, no, this one's waited long enough. And they look, and it's in the ice, and you see Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
In the ice. Yeah. So you know, oh, start off the movie with a bank, right? Or
Captain America
frozen
confirmed
cold.
To be in the movie. Yeah,
yeah. He's going to be in the movie.
That's so cool. Like, I wouldn't have expected that either.
Right?
In a movie called Captain America.
Same here, dude. Marvel's like, so crazy fucking, to see that.
That's really great.
So then we cut to a scene with Johann Schmidt,
mm-hmm.
otherwise known as Elrond, the half-elven the half-elven king. Mm-hmm.
Wait, yeah. He's only a
from
half-elf?
From Lord of the Rings.
100%.
No, he's a full elf, right?
No, he's a half-elf.
Also known as Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Anderson.
Also the Matrix Megatron. 1, 2, and 3. Was he Megatron? Mm-hmm.
Hugo Weaving. In the movie.
Yeah, that's his name.
Hugo Weaving's character. What are they doing? They're breaking down to that church.
They break the wall, they're looking for the Tesseract.
They're in Tonsberg, Norway, which is the same place that the Asgardians and Frost Giants fought.
I feel like somebody
Thor.
Just said that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, there's in Thor, it doesn't say where it is.
It does.
It does it?
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
It does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Keep going.
I remember being in Norway. I remember that being a thing.
Yeah, okay.
There's only like 2-3 places in Norway it could have possibly been.
Just ice.
Just ice.
Yeah. So anyway,
Norway
so they
super
and
small.
They burst into super this small. Church, right? Mm-hmm. The giant like thing smashed through the door or whatever.
Bad and it was like a giant fist.
There's a bunch of Hydra dudes trying to push off the lid of a sarcophagus, sort of a coffin
situation
thing.
Going on.
And they're trying to, it's like 5 dudes and they can't fucking push it off or whatever.
Then Johann comes over here.
And then Johann Schmidt just fucking walks in the door and he's like,
John Smith.
He's like, open it. And they're like, we are trying. And he's like, you're stupid. And then pushes it off.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it happened.
So one man pushes it off or whatever and he picks up the cube and he's like, the most like powerful thing in the world. You think that they would hide it in a coffin?
Yeah.
Like he's like, you're fucking, you know, come on.
But instead,
it's close.
But I know it's close. I don't know why, but it's a big
why are we walking?
Hogan!
Yes, Colonel Klink.
So Schmidt walks over to a door, right? Very Lord of the Rings-esque, by the way. There's a tree.
It looks like the tree from Asgard.
Looks
like
the tree of Gondor.
Tree,
right? Which
it's also the tree that he drew in Thor.
About fucking
right, so the
around.
Tree from Lord of the Rings Gondor. He walks up to the door, and there's a snake right on the door. And he looks at the snake's eye, and he kind of like pleasures the snake. Pushes the button. Boom. Thing pops out of the door.
That's
the blue light. You know immediately what it is. Well,
mm-hmm. We didn't know.
But back then, you're like, oh, this is the blue light that we saw in the post-credit scene of Thor. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It made sense.
I guess I don't even know if I made that connection. So he picks up the thing and he's like,
God, you're pretty.
Let's rock and roll.
That is what he says. Let's rock and roll.
That's what he says.
And he kills all the people, remember?
Oh, so.
Wait, by the way, side note, was that Filch from the Harry Potter series?
Yes, it was not.
It was.
Yeah. No, that was a much older man.
I thought it was my first thing, too. It was not.
Wait,
upon
what?
Upon further review, that was not him.
See, but I thought it was the old dude from Game of Thrones.
That's Filch.
That's Filch.
That's Filch.
I promise you.
All right, keep going. Yeah. I'll check on. I'm gonna do some facts.
The guy who got the red wedding.
He has a cat. Yeah. He has a cat in Harry Potter.
He does. Filch's cat. And the cat is a scourge of Hogwarts. And everyone hates that fucking cat.
Anyway, so they steal the test.
Except for Hermione. I think she liked the cat.
Hermione.
But so they killed everybody? I don't remember.
He goes, I will, you. If you tell me where it is, I will spare your town. And the guy's like, it's in there.
Like.
And then he's like, okay, now I'm not sparing your town. And that gigantic tank just obliterates
tank.
Down.
Yeah,
and then he shoots the guy with his.
Oh, right, with a little pistol.
And then he gets a little bit blood on his little.
On the skull.
On the Hydra.
Now, this is also, by the way, we're introduced to Hydra, which is the. Well, actually, I think that's the next scene.
They're like the special division.
SSR, the special science.
I was 100% wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that is.
He's had a fatter face back then.
He had
good
a beard.
For him.
Well, he's never had a beard before.
Don't touch me. He was fatter in the face.
So anyway,
how'd you yell at me for you being wrong? You fucking goose.
Talented.
Where are we cutting
to?
We're still getting through
the first 5 minutes of this fucking movie.
We're cutting to the capital of America, New York City, everyone.
Yep.
Capital city.
Washington, New York.
Hometown of the Yankees, guys.
And Mets.
And we're cutting there and... So Steve Rogers, this little scrawny boy.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it Brooklyn that we're cutting to?
Doesn't matter. It's New York.
It's New York City.
It's all the same.
Oh,
New
York.
It's all just considered New York.
Steve Rogers is trying to get into the army. He's desperate about this. He's just like, he wants to do anything to be a part of this fighting force of America. And he's tried like five times. Or is that revealed yet? They reveal later on that he had tried five times.
Too many facts.
To get into the army. Let me read my notes real quick.
There's like six of them.
It's one page of notes, but really we've been going. Oh, no, there's more pages.
Two
okay.
pages.
Oh.
Two, one and a half.
One and a half.
So that's he gets really bold font, by the way.
He gets rejected, right? He gets rejected. And then
the good old
for all
F.
the reasons. You're looking down his list.
Asthmatic. He's got his history of
they
cancer.
They wrote limp dick on there.
Tiny little limp dick. You can't fucking hold
he gets his
a
ass
musket with that limp dick.
Well, he goes to the movies, and the movies, there's
he's
a bully.
He's shut up.
Right. Yeah.
And it's an important scene because we're introduced to the character, and the character literally goes like, he won't stay down, right? The bully's beating his ass. He's like, stay down. He's like, I do this all day. And then gets his ass kicked, and then Bucky comes out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah,
and
he punches
him,
kicks him away.
Bucky knew that after Steve gets rejected, he likes to go to this one movie theater and usually fight in the back alley. It makes perfect sense.
Makes total sense.
Total sense.
So, it looked like they were meeting up to go to this next thing.
Back alley.
So then Bucky's like, hey, Stevie.
Weird.
You want to head to this awesome convention?
Yeah. The World's Fair.
The World's Fair. Yeah,
and well, not the World's Fair.
Though. Well, somewhere
Steve
like that.
Rogers is like,
Stark Fair.
Yeah, that
the
sounds
Stark
great. Because
right?
I love science
I
and
it
I love.
Was the Stark Fair at the time.
From Iron Man 2 that they bring
was
back.
Was it the Stark Exhibition?
I imagine.
I think it was the World's Fair.
It wasn't the official World's Fair. Because they can't use that name, I don't think.
No.
It was a fair like that that had the Stark Exhibition.
But what I'm saying is,
you don't
that,
think
is it
exactly Paramount? What you're saying.
Pictures
they did not call it the Stark Invitational.
So
the
Bucky.
Stark Invitational theme song did play, though.
Mm-hmm. And he gave a very similar Iron
very
Man 2
speech,
presentation.
But also,
can we just assume that it was
they show
that?
The globe.
I'd like to.
There's the giant
show the globe.
Yeah.
The Oracle Center.
Iron Man in Iron Man 2, where Iron Man and.
So I think they don't use that name for it. They give it a more generic name, but it is, I think, the Stark Expo.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be.
I'm glad we nailed that detail.
Cool. I mean, it's world building.
So Andy. They are they're watching Tony Stark showing off this flying car on stage.
Yep.
Howard
Stark.
Jonathan Stark.
Who, by the way, I really liked as Howard Stark. Right. Yeah. I really liked him as that character. It's Dominic Cooper, if I'm not mistaken, is the actor's name.
Which is a different actor than we've seen previously.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a younger-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not the 60-year-old. He's like the 30-year-old.
And it's cool.
But it's funny because my wife, who had not seen Captain America before, was watching and obviously she saw the Stark name, so she put two and two together. But she was like, "Wait, is that Robert Downey Jr.'s dad?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, that's really good casting on that guy. Like, he has that sort of cocky."
And I also love the kind of just building the character of that family.
Yeah,
and being like, "Oh, this is where Tony got it from."
Kissing the girls on stage. So he's trying to show off this flying car. The flying car doesn't work. He's like, "I told you it'd be ready in a few years or whatever." So they're having a double date there, and essentially Steve Rogers gets sort of sidetracked. And then Bucky turns around and he's like, hey, you want to take these girls out for... And Steve Rogers
Steve
is
Rogers
gone.
Sidetracked because he sees that there's another recruiting office.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He just can't wait to get in the
also,
store.
He just wants to fight.
Hates women. Just hates them.
Well, he's scared of them.
No, he's
and
scared
I do
of
want
them
to point out, this is the third Howard Stark at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Third Howard Stark that we've seen thus far. We also, there was an Easter egg
who's the
during this whole thing that we saw. On display at the expo that Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes go to is a red superhero costume inside a glass display case. This is the costume of the original Human Torch, a character in the old Marvel comic books from the 1940s. So there's Marvel Comics, the OG shit. Not the Human Torch from Fantastic Four.
That we
totally
know and
different
love.
Fantastic Four.
That's cool.
It's an android that like fucking goes on fire. And obviously this is a reference to Chris Evans being
the Human Torch.
I thought the Easter egg was like, there's a picture of Terrence Howard in the somewhere in the world.
Have you seen this time traveling man? He doesn't age.
So Steve Potter. Rogers tries to go get... he tries to go to this recruitment office because he really wants to be in the army and fight for America. And they turn him down again.
Yeah.
Well, they're about to, but then of course there was a nicely placed sign right over his right shoulder that said falsifying data on your, or information on your application is a federal crime.
Well, Stanley Tucci had already heard.
Yeah,
he's telling Bucky, hey, I really want to do this, and I fucking hate that they won't accept me. And Stanley Tucci is walking by, he's like, oh, how convenient to walk by at this perfect moment. And here,
but again, more,
really,
more character dynamic. He's the reason why he's like, why don't you just go and like stay here and contribute here? And he's like, look, there's guys laying down their fucking lives for this. Why should I get to be any different than those people? And that's what he hears, right? It's that big fucking fat baby limp dick.
Fat baby.
That's a lot of adjectives.
Yeah.
Somebody don't contradict each other.
Yeah.
They contradict each other.
Not my
dick. Stanley Tucci's all like, oh shit, I'm trying
this
to do
this. This is what I've been
looking soldier
for.
Serum.
Right. I think this kid might have what it takes.
This is the kid who has a good heart and he really wants to do this. And you can tell that he doesn't have a negative thing in his body.
He's in it for the right reasons.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially, Stanley Tucci, what's his character? Erskine?
Erskine.
Abraham Erskine.
Yeah. Dr. Erskine.
So eventually they sort of recruit him. They take him inside of a room and they're like, hey.
Take off his shirt.
Take off your, I want to see your little body. And so he's like, yeah, you're in. Like, you're in for this. This test is super soldier. What, they didn't call it that, right?
No, but it was like, we got a job for you. Like, yeah. You're in. He stamps the A or one whatever on it.
And
right?
Steve Rogers is down to do whatever. He's like, yo, whatever gets me in, I'm in.
Yeah.
So cuts to them, and they're, like, at the camper already.
Right.
And it's with them and all the other possible people who might be a part
they're
of the super
giant.
Soldier thing.
They're all jacked.
Yeah, they're all big dudes. And there's that one douchebag who's, like, really rude, and he's, like, right. We see Agent Carter for the first time, Peggy Carter, walk up, and she, like, slams the dude in the face. And he
yeah,
falls
she says,
down.
Step forward, and then punches him. So
yeah.
Like, I thought it was so interesting. No, but, like, you know, in the middle.
So anyway, so then matter. Tommy Lee Jones is like,
Tommy Lee fucking Jones.
So good. Yeah.
So good in this movie. Yeah. I love it.
He personally kept this movie going for me for the first, like, the middle half of it.
Yeah.
Because there, I'm sure we'll get some of the criticisms I have on there.
What, Tommy Lee Jones, I didn't take it.
General Ironside, I think, or some shit like that. Who knows? He is a general. He's running this program, yeah. Right?
Right.
And he has some quips and some one-liners that I'm like, put yeah. Tommy Lee Jones in everything. Just put him in everything, ladies and yeah. gentlemen.
So Tommy Lee Jones is looking at Tucci's character, and he's like, are you sure you want to fucking have this Steve Rogers guy? Right. He's your number one guy, really? I mean, look at the other guys. They're all big, muscular, strong. And Tucci's like, he's a cool guy.
Listen, he got a good feeling about this cool guy.
He's like, he's the guy. He's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He jumps on that grenade, man. Great scene.
Oh, great scene. Great
before
scene.
We get to that, we're also introduced to the Red Skull stuff, right? Is that that's happened at this point where he's
they're Nazis
testing out, they're trying to
visit.
Figure out what we see what they're going to do with the Tesseract, where he's trying to figure out how to power all of these like batteries with the power of the Tesseract, right?
Yeah, with the other bad guy there, Mr.
Zola, yeah. Right.
Who in the Gorgonzola. Comics is weird. It's kind of like Krang.
Yeah.
From he's
like in a
Turtles,
TV set or something.
Where he's like in a TV set and like his head's kind of
in the stomach. Yeah.
That's why that they did that like Easter egg gag at the beginning.
The shot of him looking through the
oh, I didn't realize that. That's cool.
You see it all
I knew
weird
that
there.
From reviewing the Captain America video game because it was a big deal that he had somehow switched into that version of the character by that point.
Good job. When we first meet Arnim Zola in the Red Skull's lab, his face is distorted through a weird lens. It's a reference to Arnim Zola's rather distinctive Jack Kirby design. While fleeing the Hydra Fortress in the first Avenger, the Red Skull's right-hand man, Dr. Arnim Zola, can be seen quickly stuffing files into a briefcase. If you look closely, you'll notice that one of these files is in fact a blueprint for the robotic body the character inhabits in the comics.
Interesting. And of course he comes back
In Winter Soldier,
As a gigantic fucking cool computer. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're testing out these weapons or whatever. I have it here as Schmidt Zola harnessed the powers.
Yep.
Yeah. They do.
Sounds right.
That's it.
Next scene. I don't know. I may have skipped some stuff, guys.
It's fine.
We're good. Skip some stuff.
Did you? Anyways, Captain America, Bucky dies, and then.
that's it.
Well, we do see a scene where is that during the painting scene? Where he's
no, that was a different scene.
Oh, where he's painting the painting.
Weird.
That's
weird.
No, yeah, that's a different. That are you talking on? About when like? Because there's the scene where they're like, oh, we figured out how to move the batteries. And then later the Nazis come to like investigate and they're like, the Führer likes this.
That's a different scene. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's when they get the
they
actual
do find
guns
out that,
to work.
Yeah.
Zola and Schmidt are talking about, they're like, oh, so you found him. You found Tucci.
Oh,
you found
that's right.
Oh, yeah. That is during the painting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I sure did. And so he's like, what are you going to do about it? He's like, well, check it. Watch out.
Let's fuck him up, dude. Let's fuck him up.
Watch out. So
that is skipped ahead, though, because then we do go back. After the weapons thing, we go back. We see him training, right? We see the all-important scene where he's like, if whoever can get that flag right now gets it right back. No one's gotten that flag in 17 years. That flag, right? And then all the idiot fucking guys are trying to scramble
trying
up, and he just walks over, pulls the pin, and proves that
like
brains
cheating.
Are just as important as brawn. Gets in the car. Peggy's like, what's up?
Which
and he's
a
like,
little,
what's up?
Like, heavy-handed, I think. Yeah. But also,
I like that scene.
It grows his character, so it's like, you can't have it both ways. Like,
and then, of course,
we
see the scene.
I love how cool he plays it off. Just kind of like, here, thanks.
Yeah.
And just gets in the car. Really cool.
And then, I think we see the scene before that other one where he's officially kind of picked, where we have that dialogue between Tommy Lee Jones and Stanley Tucci, where he's like, why do you want this kid? He's failed everything. He can't climb the fucking rope. He's hanging upside down like an idiot. He can't run, right? And Stanley Tucci's like, he has that interesting monologue where I don't know if I agree with his thought process, where he's like, a strong guy takes it for granted, but a weak guy who gets strength never takes it for granted. I'm like, unless he's a villain, In which case, every weak guy that's ever gotten a lot of power just becomes the psychopath like the Abomination. But we're gonna just put that aside.
He wasn't weak though.
Well, he was old and decrepit, and then became and then he got and then he got power and immediately in the span of 5 seconds turned into a fucking psychopath.
He wasn't like 90 years old.
But I thought that was that was a really good scene with the grenade, right? Where he pulls the pin and he goes like. He's like, I forget the point he was making, but he was like, let's see, like heart counts
who's
too.
The hero?
Who's really the hero? Throws it in, everyone runs, and he just jumps on it because he sees that that's like his moment to actually do something and like save people's
and they
lives.
Focus a lot on the bully of the scene, who's
cowering behind
the car, vehicle.
And that's the point where Tommy Lee Jones goes, we're gonna pick this kid, and then we're gonna go all the way back to Brooklyn instead of this military base that's heavily guarded. We're just going to go back
they
to
the power grid.
We're just going to go
they
back to Brooklyn.
They did say that, Nicky.
Then this weird tailor shop,
which was straight out of the comics. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like this movie was pretty faithful in a lot of ways to Captain America number one, with him facing off against Red Skull and stuff. And yeah, them going to Brooklyn and going into that shop and the woman with the gun and all that stuff.
Yeah,
straight out of the issue.
Yeah, I appreciate cool. that. I just a few of the criticisms I have with this one is there just are things that don't make any sense at all. Like just not even explained. This. Whatever, it's cool. It's a cool secret underground.
Yeah, what are the
The entire ending.
Yeah, we'll get there. But I totally
the
agree
entire
with
ending.
You. But so they get him
at
into
no
this,
point do that because oh, we'll go into it.
We'll get him into this spot where he gets the superpowers.
He gets the superpowers. Yeah, and so he it's a little secret lab, and Tom Lee Jones is there along with all the other scientists. And they're watching Atlas along. You know, Agent Carter. That's what I called
Peggy.
Him. Peggy Carter is there as well.
I love you, Andy.
And at this point, she's like falling in love with him already.
She realizes he's a good guy, right? They have that dialogue on the way over where she's like something about dancing. And he's like, I'm just looking for the right one partner. To dance with, the right partner, right? Yeah. I haven't found the right partner yet. And she's like, oh, maybe if this guy gets a fucking schwole in the next 15 minutes, maybe he could be my partner.
Yeah. Man, if this treatment cures his limp dick baby huge dick.
His big, fat, floppy baby dick.
So he gets in the little body thing, and Howard Stark is there as well, sort of supervising and turning the knobs. And they stick him with a little needle. And he's like, oh, that wasn't so bad. He's like, oh, that was penicillin. That was penicillin. You can handle this accent.
You're so
I'll do the Tucci accent. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So they give him one thing I didn't like is that you didn't see the 6 scar like pokes from the serum.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he regenerates now faster.
Regenerates, bro.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Easy cop out.
I mean, he does regenerate faster.
I do like that it was the same vials as they had in Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk.
It was a little bit weird that they had 8 vials or like 9 vials, but they only needed 8 of them.
And then one of them got stolen.
And then one of them just happens to get stolen. I was like, all right, maybe just don't like just bring what you need to the
actually,
party. Don't
they,
bring extra
They kept
beer.
More because then. We know that in the future, the Russians steal them and experiment with people, too.
Yeah.
But we also know there's got to be a few lying around, right? Because the Hulk. Like, there's clearly more
Didn't
serum.
They get that from his blood, though? Right?
What?
At some point?
No, because they go into, and from it says Vader Ray.
Abomination. Yeah, Abomination, they use the exact same blue one.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
They just couldn't get it to work right.
They couldn't get it to work
right. Because they didn't have Stanley Tucci.
So they stick Cap.
Pass the Tucci to the
And then they're like, all right, time for the Vita race. So he's there in the little like room, whatever.
Vita race.
And they're, Vita?
No, I'm just fucking around.
And so they're getting like to 70 and he's like, oh, shit. And then Howard Stark, they're like, stop it. And then he's like, no. I can go further.
It's a good moment. I like that moment.
And so they kept going to like 90 and then eventually to 100 and the like random sparks start going off.
Which was like, honestly, that was bullshit.
The sparks?
Yeah. Why the fuck?
1940s power grid, bro.
It's too much power.
I don't know.
We're going to blow the power of the city.
To me, where I saw this, I'm like, this does not add to this moment at all.
It's like the Frankenstein
of, like,
sort of moment.
Random fucking shit going off. I'm like, things cannot explode.
Yeah,
like,
they
that's,
need it.
That's fine.
Did they add, like, camera shakes?
Yeah, but
too?
They did that, like, the whole movie when they did the, like, when they got the Tesseract and. Did the batteries like that blue shit went everywhere?
Yeah,
so they like exploding.
This is AC/DC power, man. You know what I mean?
AC/DC power.
DC power,
you're right, dude. You're right.
So he comes out of the little body shell thing, and he's fucking jacked. Yeah,
let's take a second here.
Yes,
because his fucking biceps are the biggest that I've ever seen. When I think to myself, "Hey, Nick, ultimate goal body: Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans from either Thor or Captain America. No brainer, Chris Hemsworth.
Fuck that up.
Clearly a no-brainer. I'd fuck that whole thing up.
I'm really
confused. Dude, he got fucking huge for this.
That shot, when it opens up and it's just him, you're just like, okay, I fucking love this. And then jumping ahead just a little bit, when he's in the actual old school Captain America spandex, I'm like, God damn, you made this costume look good. How?
Well, there's the great great moment where Peggy walks
up. That's it, yeah.
And just touches his his pec. That is amazing. Is amazing. Because that's what you'd be like, what the fuck? Like you would. And it was very candid. I read in the trivia that apparently that was actually like that was an ad lib, and she almost like started laughing because his biceps were so.
I love it.
His fucking pecs were so big.
So eventually they're like, "Hey man, you're huge and shit." And then they notice a dude, a kind of a sketchy looking dude, almost like
almost the guy that no one knows who he is.
Almost like
German looking guy.
Almost like the very bad guy from Willy Wonka.
Yeah,
Slugsworth.
Slugworth. Yeah, he's kind of just walking around. This guy looks like Slugworth. His name is Kruger, and he like. And I don't know
dead
how giveaway, Tucci knows something is wrong.
He just knows something's not right.
He just knows something's wrong, right? Yeah. So he sees Kruger bust out a little match.
A lighter.
And he's like, no, right? Does it, and boom, explosion up top. It's supposed to be a diversion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? He grabs the fucking vial, pops Tucci twice. That's a Tucci. Two shot for Tucci.
That was way funnier than it should have been.
And Stanley Tucci falls on the ground, man.
And he does this.
Yeah, he's like,
no, you're ahead of yourself. Weird. Ahead of yourself.
So then Kruger kind of runs up the steps and he gets shot by Peggy Carter.
Mirrors like almost exactly like I saw frame by frame things of Tony Stark with
Jensen.
Yeah. Like the way that they die and the way that thing's shot, it's like shot for shot. The same.
God, Jensen was such a good
Why fix what isn't broken? You know,
right.
So Kruger is running up the stairs. He gets shot by Peggy Carter, but he ends up like still getting away somehow. And then the old. Old lady walks out with her Tommy gun.
First off, and this is another one of those instances where I'm like, who's doing security for this? That the last line of defense is this 97-year-old lady with a fucking Thompson rifle that when she pulls the trigger, comically just goes up into the ceiling and she's getting plugged.
She got shot.
Nonetheless, if I was like, oh, guys, don't worry about security. Granny got this. She better be a fucking sniper with that thing. She better be surgical with this shit.
There's like a million MPs between them and the door.
And they all went out like, wusses. They just got jacked.
That's true.
Just
and had explosion a fucking Luger, will confuse people.
And they had, idiot. They were just, I mean, come on, man. Train your fucking people.
But what follows
Stark.
This was an awesome,
awesome chase
scene. Cars everywhere. Him just fucking running.
A man
chasing
a car.
I did have a moment where I'm like, he just got this shit. Like, how would he know how to be so
But that's man. The thing. Like, and I think, they explain it by, like, him, like, not being able to take the turn and just going into the window. Yeah.
And then he isn't doing the thing where he's running and he, like, looks down and realizes he can go faster. Like, yeah. I thought it was really good. Storytelling, non-verbal storytelling.
Yeah,
because it was. You saw him be like, I should not be able to do this, but let's fucking do this. And he just took off going, and he's barefooting it too.
Which is very
actually,
noticeable.
It's funny because I remember seeing those production stills. Yeah. Do you remember those back in the day where it was like his gigantic fake feet?
Well,
that he was
they had a big old.
Yeah, they were like shoe feet. Yeah. I was like, how the hell? It's again another one of those interesting things to look at. Recently, we talked about the Captain Marvel costume.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you were on the show with me, or one of you guys on the show with me.
It wasn't me. But
where we were talking about like how it looked terrible, but who knows how it's going to look once it's filmed. I was like, this movie,
terrible,
I'm like,
though.
The big feet are going to ruin this movie. You know, like, you don't really see it.
You don't
look
for
it
at all.
No, it doesn't matter.
Actually, every time I see that scene, I look for the big feet. Can and you? I see the feet, and they look normal.
Yeah, they look normal. He's running around.
So he's running after Kruger.
Yeah.
And then Kruger gets a little boy, and he's like holding him hostage.
That was a great scene.
Captain America is like running at him with like the thing to protect himself from
the
getting shot.
I love
or whatever.
That Captain America in this movie.
A car door.
Anything he can use as a shield,
he uses.
He just fucking does it earlier in
the garbage can.
The bully fly has a garbage can land later. Whatever the fuck it was.
Which, by the way, until you
car
said
door,
that,
yeah,
I didn't realize
door.
It's a nice
with
callback a to
a
kid
it.
At the end that has the garbage can, but it's running with a Captain America shield painted on it, which is dope.
So the guy takes a little kid hostage. He runs out of ammo, and then he throws the kid in the water. Captain America.
And it's
kid's like,
such a good
I
moment.
Can swim,
go
cuts,
get him.
And the kid just goes, get him, man.
I can swim.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's great. Because that could have went so bad.
Yeah. So then he keeps running after Kruger. Kruger has a fucking
submarine.
He's got his
hydro. He pulls out his lighter again and clicks it one more time. Now a fucking submarine goes up. I love that.
This thing that I imagined in my brain was like him go after the submarine and like get him out. And then he does another click and then like a spaceship goes up. And then Chris
it's just Austin Powers. It's just the beginning of Austin Powers, the Bob's Big Boy takes. I was like, not even a thing in the 40s.
He has so many gadgets. So he ends up taking him out of the submarine, throwing him out into the land.
In all the kerfuffle, by the way, he has dropped the vial at this point, right? Oh, no, that happens
right
after
right here.
This.
Yeah.
Right,
there, okay.
So he dropped the vial, but then he crunches on one of them.
He's
little,
a cyanide
takes
pill.
The tooth off.
So I was going to say Claritin. Yeah.
Which was cool. I liked that.
That was a great scene.
Because it was everyone's like, oh, shit, cool. Like, there's some real stakes here. People are, and he said Hail Hydra, which is like, It added a creepiness that we haven't seen so far in MCU.
Very what did like, he say? He said, like, you take one head, two more will rise.
Cut off one head, two more will rise.
That's it.
Hydra.
It's just a like, very, like, a sinister sort of feeling scene. It was pretty cool.
Your head.
So he eats a cyanide. Kruger's dead. Number one assassin gone.
Right.
Right. Off the ring.
Take him off the board.
But also, is the super serum program. The super soldier program is also gone. Everyone's like, there's no way we can use this guy now because I asked for an entire... Tommy Jones like, I asked for an armor. You gave me one person. Let's not use him at all. And then walks away.
Yeah, I was dumb. Tommy Lee Jones.
What's happening here? And then the guy's like, wait, I've got a good idea.
I got a job for you.
I'm a PR person. You can go around in tights.
Sell some bonds all across America.
Which arguably is the more important job.
No.
I'm just saying.
When he goes and like fights Nazis, that's probably more important.
I mean, economically, you have to have money to have a war, right? I mean, he didn't just win the war single-handedly by himself.
He pretty much does until he gets frozen.
Really great scenes,
right?
Of him out there doing a little song and dance as
Brooklyn, Chicago, like
with the comic faithful costume, which is really cool because it's something we haven't really seen so far. I mean, there was reference to it in Incredible Hulk about the purple pants and stuff, but we just get to see him in that costume, which was really cool.
Yeah,
we see him fighting Hitler, which was awesome. And a reference to the first cover.
Which they then showed in
Captain America issue one, which they then show somewhere. That's cool.
That's cool,
stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I like this, too, because it's interesting because in the Marvel, you know, prior to this, obviously secret identities were always the most important thing. But we're, what, 5 films in now? And we know who 2 people are. Like, we know that Captain America is Steve Rogers, and we know that Iron Man
I don't think
is.
The public knows that.
Really?
Yeah. I think at the end of the
movie, I always got the idea that... Well, people just knew who he was.
Well, I think
he was like a spokesperson.
I think that people thought he was like a movie, like celebrity.
Okay, I mean, I think
ends and nobody knows that Captain America.
This was one of our ongoing arguments.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
he gets the Valor menu. He gets the Valor medal.
Yeah, but like that's
Captain
like
Captain America gets that.
Yeah,
right.
I think
Captain
it's
America is the guy who's walking,
like
around
Steve
walking around his mask off.
We're gonna have to
figure
this out. I will say movie. Shout out
but
to Queen Marjorie.
But I think that's from him going around towns being
way
like
way ahead, the
Bond dude.
Yeah, so people know that Steve Rogers is Captain America. They know what he looks like.
What I'm saying is I don't think that they know that he's a real superhero.
I'd have to assume, though, because he's...
Really?
Yeah.
When you get to him getting the Medal of Valor, which I cannot say, they know that he's fucking...
Yeah,
rescued all those people.
Hell,
when he comes out, and like pretty much the last half of the movie, like or not even the last half, him rescuing the... what were they called? The
F-Troop.
Wolfhound. No, Hound's Blood. Hound's Tooth.
Something.
Howling Wolf.
Yes.
The 107.
Yes. When he wrecks through them, I think that's when it's like, people know who this is. He's not just a fake comic book superhero. He's a real person doing real shit.
So they are overseas. They're still doing this war bond shit. And then he overhears that...
right, there's a bunch of army people who are assholes to him, and they're the ones that have survived this gigantic attack.
Yeah.
And Bucky was in that troop of people.
And he's no longer getting the applause from like
he's in the real campaign.
Him from all the people cheering and loving him, and then it just cutting into him just being
silenced
and like not just sounds but hating him.
Hecklers.
Yeah.
Fuck cool.
Yeah,
throwing
shout
food out to
at
whoever
him
brings tomatoes to a rally. Just start throwing at people.
Every time, take a tomato.
He tells that line of Peggy Carter. He's like, I'm used to the crowds being more like 12.
Yeah.
Because he's used to a bunch of kids cheering for him and shit. And then he overhears that I guess people went missing and he asks Tommy Lee Jones if Bucky was part of it. And he's like, you know what? I think I remember reading that name. I think I wrote that letter of condolence or whatever. Sorry. And Cap's like, we got to go save his ass, dude. Because he's my boyfriend. I want to kiss him.
There are guys out there I got to save.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one that can save him.
Joke about it.
And he takes the steel shield that is by no means bulletproof and gets
out there. I thought that was interesting. There's like
it's a prop.
His prop shield. Yeah. Like,
But it's fun.
Yeah, so they go out there, and Peggy Carter's like, I'm going to help you out. We're going to do this together.
Of course, Tony Stark's there, too. Like, I'll fly you over.
Howard Stark's there.
Howard Stark's there, too. And then they talk about fondue.
It's a real helmet, though, right?
I assumed it was.
It was
a real helmet, real jacket.
Weird. I mean, whatever. This is movie nitpicking. But, like, why would that girl and Chris Evans' super soldier head have the same size head? But, you know, whatever.
It's fun.
So they infiltrate the base, and they end up saving all of the Americans that were captured, including Bucky. And Bucky's, like, tied to a table, and He's like, he's been experimenting on. He's like, I remember you being smaller or some shit like that.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good scene. That's what
he's doing. They weren't. It's platonic.
It's not like that.
So, Cap rescues all these people and they're trying to escape. And then they, essentially, Rogers and Schmidt, Red Skull,
yeah,
confront each other.
And that's when he tears off the mask,
the
right?
Mask, yeah. And we see the red
skull. He punches
him
in the face and it's that really fucking weird, like, half his eyes off. And you're like, oh, no. And then he pulls it off and he's like, Dulce's character, whose name I can't remember, did this to me. And there was some drawbacks, but I am the one who's the better one. And they fight. And then the other guy's like, don't let him fight because then the movie would be over. So let's just draw the bridge. And the bridge goes like this. And then for whatever reason, just let each other part. And then the only exit to the building is on the side of the Red Skull. So they got
to
go
except
up
for the elevator that takes you to the garage.
That's the car with the blueprints for the robot suit.
Yeah. Well, it already happened by that point. But
so then Bucky ends up like getting across, crossing a little thing. Right. And then Captain America does this awesome jump, like just major ups, dude. And he like crosses this huge ravine.
And then he the fire engulfs him. We don't know.
Yeah.
Smash cut to Tommy Lee himself. Tommy Lee.
And he says that he's
writing the condolence letter.
Yeah, writing the
Tommy Lee
letter.
And Pam Anderson are back. Fucking on a boat,
oh
too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I threw that out there. I don't care. That's a reference.
I was laughing. Yeah,
so so he's writing the condolence letter, and everybody thinks they're dead. Agent Carter's kind of sad. You know, everybody's, it's a very, very somber
dance
mood.
With him.
And then Tommy Jones is like, what's all that ruckus over there? And then they look around the corner and just, here they come, dude.
400 people, unannounced, walk in to this military base.
Yeah.
400. What? Who's guarding? It was Grandma was supposed to be there. She was supposed to be guarding the base.
Why would they stop Americans from walking into American base?
I don't know if they would stop as much as they might radio ahead.
Yeah.
Holy shit, guys.
But by the way.
Because it wouldn't be gone, right? Dudes. Holy shit, guys. There's a bunch of people walking towards us. They have Nazi tanks.
It is worth noting that scene was cool. So we got to see the Howlers? Howling Wolves?
The Howling Commandos. Hanny
Kamalos. Howling Commandos. We got to see them working as a team, and you're like, oh, these guys are fucking wrecking shot. And they're like, keep moving, and just fucking people up, even though two of them are getting taken out at a time with a weird like War of the Worlds machine.
Yeah,
you know,
so cool.
I thought it was
so
pretty good. Cool. They get in the tank, and the
it's
guy's
like
got
Dr.
that great
Manhattan
line where he's like,
fucking,
I studied French for, oh no, he said, what is it? I said German for 2 years until I realized the French girls were hotter.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
The Howling Commandos in the comics, it was Fury and the Commandos, and they Fury and the Howling Commandos, and they fought together in World War II. I don't know that that's canon in these movies, but there's that, and Kenneth Cho, who plays Commando Jim Morita here, shows up in Spider-Man Homecoming as the principal of Peter's school and the grandson of the character he plays.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
That's really smart.
Great tie-ins, man.
Good job.
They deserve that clap that you just gave them.
Do they?
So then Captain America's like...
oh, by the way, did we talk about the map that he sees as he's escaping?
Oh, yeah, he memorizes it.
He sees the map
yeah.
of all the other Hydra locations, which you're like, why would he not fight to keep this cool factory? But he was like, nah, fuck it, I'm going to blow this factory up.
I got
8 other factories.
Yeah.
And no one could take those down.
So because he's like superhuman and shit, he has a superhuman brain too.
Right.
Yeah. He's able to like photo memory all this shit.
Photo memory.
Photo memory.
That's what they call it. That's the legal.
And so him and it cuts to him and he's like pointing at all the strongholds with Agent Carter.
Right.
We got to
like,
sorry,
only he's like,
for a second.
I got a good photo memory.
that's
the line from the movie. And then I guess like, are they doing this? No, I guess Tommy Lee Jean.
Well, it's important to note that, by the way, at this point, we've established that the Red Skull character said, fuck Hitler, I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah.
So I'm using this, you know, I'm using this extraordinary power that I've developed. And he has that point with Zola, where he goes, we all knew that there would be a day that Kit would come where we would outgrow Hitler, basically.
Yeah,
he has some Nazis come, and he's like, hey, Nazis, look at this map. Hey, and they're like, this is
where
we are.
And they're like, wait a minute, this is where
Berlin
is on this map.
Berlin?
He's like, no, we like, we live on Berlin.
He's like, we're tired of Hydra living in the shadow of
and also,
the Nazi regime.
At this point, we've seen Hydra a lot. We've seen them in their suits, like,
this
full
badass
out with their weapons
suits.
And everything. With the fucking move. And it's like, it's fucking awesome. And this is yet another one of those things that we keep talking about in the movies we watched so far, where when I first watched these movies, I didn't give a fuck, because it was all just new shit to me. Like, I don't know who Hydra was. I wasn't familiar with the comics like that. I don't know any of the shit. But now, having seen what comes later and having read thousands of Marvel comics, it's cool. I'm like, man, those outfits, they nailed it. Like, they look like Hydra.
They're fucking terrifying.
They're acting like Hydra. This is really, really, really cool.
Yeah. It's, and it was cool, too, is that
it's
you
cool
they were able
vibe.
To establish the fact that Nazis, high-level Nazis, were scared of these dudes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's very terrifying. It was
very cool.
So they're getting ready to go take out all these strongholds. Captain America's, he's asking Howard Stark, like, hey, I need a cool shield. And he's like, dude, I got one for you. Right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that's 100% right. That's and then he shows him a bunch of lame shields.
Yeah.
And this one has rockets.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, what about this one? He's like, this one is the rarest metal in the world, vibranium, which is made from a comet that landed in Wakanda. Mm. And that's where Black Panther is from.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say some of those things.
He didn't say any of that.
He didn't say,
he didn't say any of that. But he said, this is vibranium. That's all there is. Yeah, and what caused him to say this is all that's
why well, doesn't it, Rogers is like why doesn't everybody have this?
Oh,
like,
right.
That's what you're holding issue, in your hand is all we have. Yeah. Also, we skipped the part where he made out with Marjorie from Game of Thrones.
That's a key thing, guys. Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones, who is perfect, is there for some reason, and she's a good guy.
She's like a secretary or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's just there. Office and then she's just sneaking the smooches.
Yeah.
And
sneaking the smooches.
On behalf of all Americans.
Well, she's turned on by how, like, built and handsome.
I get it.
Well, yeah, he's also, she was reading that article.
You know, we're here rooting for little Miss Peggy Carter, and then all of a sudden Marjorie comes into play, and I'm getting all confused. And I'm just like, God, this is a hard situation for everyone.
And
then,
of course, Peggy Carter walks in at the wrong moment.
On the smooch. Right.
Yeah, because they had started the whole partner thing at that point. Where she had said that she was waiting for, maybe she was waiting for the partner when she turned down Bucky Barnes.
They were alluding to this sort of relationship.
Yeah, well, we'd already seen the sparks going. We knew it, but now we had it on the record.
Great scene where Bucky Barnes is like, I've never been ignored like this.
Yeah.
Really cool.
With all them Howling Commandos there, too.
But real quick, did we like the Howling Commandos? Because I felt like they felt exactly like the
people from World War from
Wonder Woman. Yeah, Wonder Woman, exactly. Where it's like, there they are. We don't really need them.
I don't want to go into this conversation too deeply, but it's like it's funny watching this movie where I'm like, Wonder Woman's better.
Oh, period. Wonder Woman was a vastly better movie.
I was watching Wonder Woman, I was like, just Captain America again. And I'm just like, now watching Captain America, Wonder Woman, I'm like, fuck, man.
I feel like the third act of this movie is much better than the third act of Wonder Woman.
It was terrible.
And I hated the third act in Wonder Woman. But the third act in this.
Well, let's keep going. We'll get through the plot, and then we can go back.
So they get the shield, and they're like, we're going to go get Hydra and all these strongholds. And we cut to, like, sort of a montage.
Yeah, so
Captain America's like, I'm going to need a new outfit. And then they debut his new fucking outfit.
Right. I got some notes. Here's some notes.
I thought it looked dope.
Yeah.
And the montage of Captain America kicking ass with the shield, whole bunch of shit. One of my favorite things we've seen so far.
See, that was my least favorite.
But really bad CGI.
So, and here's where this movie starts. Like, I was like, okay, this is kind of a fun little movie we're on right here. Like, so it's breaking down. But a lot of the action in the movie I thought was not very well done, including the part where he jumps and the fire engulfs him. You're like, that was a terrible effect.
Yeah,
looked really bad. Also, this part was the most disappointing part of the movie for me, right? They have to raid 6 of these factories, which totally didn't need to be 6. Maybe it was comic accurate. I don't know why. But it would have been way cooler if it was just one more factory that they had as a backup. Or 2 more, and we got to actually see them work as a team. Because we never really see them work as a team. We don't have that team dynamic of them, like, gelling and figuring out and him becoming a leader and really understanding it. We just get a weird montage that, while had some really cool shots in it, like, I'm a particular fan of the shot with the 2 fucking dudes with the flamethrowers that are, like, zeroing in on it.
Why do they do that, though? Why do they the diamond shape?
Because to stop him, and then they were going to, like, slowly, I don't know.
I hated that.
I thought that was really interesting.
So we get, I mean, that shot may have actually been during the final storming of the final castle. But we get all sorts of cool stuff, and we see him starting to figure out, but he just inherently takes to the shield like a fish to water. There's no learning curve with that. But I just felt like that whole thing, I'm like, this is a montage? Why are we doing this in a montage?
See, I'm so happy.
It's really weird.
Because I think we got a lot of the money shots out of the way, and like, I didn't need more of like a big drawn
it's like
out a thing.
It's like when you're watching porn and you just get the compilation or the compilation, if you know what I mean.
God,
there's just sometimes you need the build up to it.
I don't know that you do, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know that you do.
I do. Yeah. I do. Sometimes.
So they get it down to 1.
So they go from 6 to 1.
They get to the last. They get to the last.
And meanwhile,
one.
Red Skull's like, they keep taking our bases. Why can't you? And the guy's like, I'm sorry. He came at me like a spider monkey.
We fought to the last man.
He's like, apparently not. Right.
So
standing in the right, pulls up his Rolls Royce to the rubble of another one in his factory. He's like, Hogan.
Yeah, he did do that.
It's terrible.
So did they capture him? Right. They capture Steve
He lets
Rogers.
Himself get captured. So they go, okay, how are we going to... Well, first off, they get Zola.
They get Zola. Door.
They figure out that there's a train that they got to get on. I can't remember why.
I love the scene with Tommy Lee Jones eating the steak and talking to Zola.
Yeah. So, but before that, we see a newsreel of him doing these things, and Peggy's still pissed off at him, but she sees him open up a compass, and he's got a picture of her, and she goes, okay, he loves me. He loves me.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, they have to storm the train. Wetch. I can't remember why they had to storm the train, but they only get one shot.
Zoloff was on it.
Zola. Yeah. So they had Zola. That's great. They get there. It's a cool action scene with like some of the guys. Oddly reminiscent of Wolfenstein 2, which if you guys haven't played, there's a great train sequence in that. That's very much exactly like that. They get all the way to there. This big guy blows Bucky out the fucking water and Captain America.
And another really bad CGI.
And another really bad CGI.
Where we like hang on Bucky going, ah! Like Wilhelm scream, like, what right. the fuck is this?
Can't save Bucky. He's super torn apart. But very he does sad. Get Zoloft. And Zoloft gets brought back, and Tommy Lee Jones has that great scene for him where he's eating the steak and he's like, hey, I already put it out on the news wire that you're a traitor and everyone's going to try to kill you. So you got two options. You can work for us or you can go out there and get killed by Red Skull. And then they're like, cool. So then they realize he's got one stronghold left, and Captain America's like, they're like, we just can't walk through the front door, which makes zero sense because that's what they've done for every other fucking factory that they've attacked, which I guess this is in a remote outpost in the Aspen or whatever the fuck they're either in Colorado. They're in the Alps. But apparently it's not an impenetrable fortress because they can just zip line in.
Yeah, that's what doesn't make sense. Why do they zip line it? Like everyone else zip lines in after he's gotten in. It's like, why didn't they all
why
just,
didn't
do,
they
that?
Just do that? It was weird.
Was it like a distraction when he went and attacked? Right. They must have like shot the zip
lines. It's because the movie makers wanted you to think that it was over. Kevin.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely to heighten the tension.
Zip lines come in, and then the guys with the blue guns are just fucking eviscerating people left and right.
Which was cool looking.
Yeah.
But I feel like from the zip lining on, the movie really just falls apart, and it went from being very easy to follow what was happening.
Sorry,
really?
we missed the most important, like one of the worst CG shots I've ever seen in all of the Marvel history.
Oh, right.
Where he's like, hey, he's standing there and he's talking to the eight soldiers, which looks terrible, by the way.
Yeah, if you that and whole thing is on green, and he's got a glass of water.
And he turns around. And he goes, Hail Hydra. And the just total ranks of people go, Hail Hydra. But they didn't do the thing there's they normally do for that, where they alter like some of the stances. Like literally all the lens flares for all the guns were exactly the same. Yeah. So you could tell they just took one and multiplied them like 50 times and then put him in ranks of the rows. And it looked, there was way too much depth of field. Like there was no, it just looks so out of place and so weird. And then that's where like most of the third act plays out, is that weird scene where he's chasing after the fucking plane in this total CG hangar. It's weird.
Don't look at me. I'm not going to kiss you. I was like, great job, Tommy Lee Jones. Great. Some great.
Yeah. That was a great moment. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Also, Tommy Lee Jones, when he fucking came ready for action and he's like, let's get him. Oh, shit. I didn't expect to see
Tommy
him.
Tommy Lee Jones is
like,
around,
in the action. Driving cars and shit. Cool. I'll take it, even though it looks really awkward and CG and shitty. But yeah, from then on, once they get into the plane, and it's like you see, like he looks over, he sees all the different names of the cities that these
bombs are.
They're bomb planes. Yeah, were they suicide? Like I don't think
I got the idea they were suicide bombers in their weird little propeller bombs.
Because they could pilot the plane, and the plane was shaped like a bomb.
But they also had an ejector seat.
It's true.
Why put an ejector seat in a suicide?
I don't know, man. See, this is what I'm saying.
Counter to that would be that the other guy had the underwater submarine, which was the same build.
I just assumed
these were just rigged. You could fly them anytime, but they rigged them up to drop these weird ass.
We assumed that
tesseract
they had
bombs.
Sort of tesseract.
On second viewing of this, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to. So I'm like, oh, maybe the third act isn't as bad as I remember it being. But once he went back into the plane, like when he was in the plane, and it was obvious that he could drop the bombs himself, and they weren't self guiding. I was like, why wouldn't you just do that?
So there's a couple cool action scenes there where he starts dropping the things out, and then at one point he leaves the plane.
He gets
back on the plane somehow.
And then he rides the plane, like ejects the guy.
Well, he ejects the guy.
But the dude getting ejected and going through the propeller
is
like,
brutal.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was really violent.
I love that, like, well, this wasn't made by Disney, right? This was
Universal. This is Paramount.
Paramount, Disney, yeah. That's crazy. But, like, the violence in this movie, there was a lot of Nazi killing.
Yeah.
And, like, that blood mist that came out after he threw the dude was shocking. Nuts. Yeah.
But like, so at that point, then he gets back on the thing and there's still the one bomb going for New York. It's still there. And then that's when he faces off against Red Skull.
Right.
And
instead
Red
of
Skull
just
monologuing, doing the whole bad guy villain thing. But like, maybe I'm just a fucking idiot. What was the point of what ended up happening? He got the Tesseract.
No idea.
Got sucked into Asgard.
Yeah, he started like shooting. And I think that they started fighting, and somebody hit the like Tesseract.
Let me check my notes.
Holding thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, the Tesseract actually, but it pops up
and it
up,
like activated
and
the Tesseract.
He grabs it for some reason.
Well,
and
so then it melts you guys, I think you have to remember that the Tesseract is the Infinity Stone for
Space?
Blue. Yeah, space.
That's space, right?
Space.
So I feel like when he picked it up,
what
it teleported
it does is it teleports you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see all the same weird Asgard
shit.
Yeah,
somehow
Loki fell.
Somehow they turn it on and it teleported him somewhere in the universe.
But then it
burned. We don't know. We assume he's dead. It could have teleported
really
him to Thanos.
He comes back,
but I hope so, too.
That's
yeah.
the thing. It's been a while, and maybe he will at some point. Maybe it's a weird Hugo Weaving. Like, doesn't want to
be back.
It
said in the trivia that Hugo Weaving didn't want to come back.
It didn't say he didn't want to. He was like,
he said he was reluctant to come back.
I thought the Tesseract was like not only teleporting, but it looked like it was tearing him apart. Like,
well, I think it's just because we've never seen it teleport anyone. We've
seen
it make
a like,
gate.
It looked a lot like the Asgardian like teleporter where they're like going, just get sucked up into it. But that was another one of those weird things where I was like, okay, I get he can't. He holds it. And the power kind of teleports him. But then it drops onto the floor and then melts through. But why didn't it melt through the other stuff? I don't know. That was weird.
Well, I don't think it was active. I at no point did it create like a.
Okay,
what
so you
it
think
was
it was just
to.
So it was so hot.
Yeah,
from
now
that
it was like
through.
Full like yeah.
Like, I buy
he
that.
Had it in. I forget. Was it touching it or did it have like a containment field around it?
It was touching it, but I think it was just because he was afraid to touch it with his hands.
Well, because
it would zap him into fucking
obviously duh.
The ethos.
It was in a wooden box before. You know not to touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it. It's a wooden box in the middle of a tree. This whole sequence, I'm like, what is fucking happening, right? And then he gets on the horn with Peggy. And obviously it's on autopilot.
Yeah.
He clicks it on autopilot and he can't.
Well, yeah, the thing that wasn't well explained, but I took away from it, was that autopilot put it on a course for New York.
Okay.
And that he couldn't,
couldn't turn it off.
Yeah, he took it off autopilot. He had now control of it.
But we've also
established
that
he said he couldn't take it off autopilot.
No, no.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I believe he took it off autopilot because it was going to go to New York. So he takes it off autopilot. Now he has control of it.
Right.
But he doesn't know how to fly a plane.
Sure.
So he was like, my only option is to take this down into the ocean.
Sure.
And she's like, wait, Tony or Howard can help you.
We don't have time.
Like,
we're getting too close.
There's no time.
We're getting too close.
Like, wait, why? Like, I don't know.
This plane is flying at approximately light speed.
Yeah.
Evidently.
It's going really fast.
So this is where I'm like, look, I know that there is a suspension of disbelief that has to happen for us even to understand what's going on with the super soldier being created in roughly 5 minutes. I get that. But there's one bomb left, and we've already established that these bombs need pilots. There's no one left on the fucking plane. What's happening with that bomb? Go back into the fucking thing, launch the bomb, and then jump the fuck out. We also know that he can jump out of fucking airplanes and not need a parachute.
Did he not have a parachute?
No,
I think he had a parachute when he jumped out earlier.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about in Winter Soldier where he goes, did he have a parachute? He's like, nope, he did not, right? He just jumps out into the fucking ocean from like,
he does that.
He does a halo jump from the ocean, right? So none of this makes any sense to me as why he would have to, first off, why would he have to scuttle the plane? Like, why would he have to crash it? Why wouldn't he try to land it? Like, why wouldn't you be like, well, self-preservation, I'm going
to
try to land this motherfucker.
He didn't know.
But
I'm with
know.
You. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The Wikipedia thing says, seeing no way to land the plane without the risk of detonating its weapons, Rogers crashes it into the Arctic.
You go like this, and then you put it in the fucking ocean. Like, I don't understand what.
That's what he did.
He put it in the Arctic fucking.
No, he put it in the ocean. It drifted to the Arctic eventually.
He put it right in the ice.
No, he puts it
sunk
on the
into
ice.
The ice.
And it sinks into the ice.
Yeah.
The ice.
This,
you're
I'm
right,
just saying
right,
for
right,
a guy
right.
who could memorize a map by looking at it like that, not very smart when
it
comes
to
like self preservation.
Like, all right, cool, up, down, punch out the glass. Like, you punch through the glass. And, I mean, I know it doesn't make any more sense than anything else, but it's just like, I feel like I would have at least tried to. All right, the plane's going down. The plane is going down in the Arctic.
Right.
I can bail out here and see. We'll try to figure
like,
this out.
Like, I was, like, again, and then this is where it's just so disappointing because I was like, this movie's not that bad. But then, like, he gets this part. I'm like, none of this makes any sense. I get we have to get him in the ice. We've got this machine behind him that's, like, malfunctioning constantly. Why don't we have that just fucking zap him or some shit like that? And then he takes it down. But I guess he can't. He has to be heroic and one last ditch effort to kill this thing.
And then here's the thing.
But that moment was really fucking great.
Sucked. And it was confusing as fuck. But his conversation was Peggy.
Yeah, so good.
I loved that shit. As corny and stupid as it all is.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I mean, I remember watching this in theaters and having a cursed story knowledge of Captain America from, you know, Wizard and reading comics here or Marvel comics here and there. And I remember being like, well, there's no way they'll do the ice thing. Because that just doesn't make sense. And then when they open it up with the ice thing, I was like, fuck, we're really going to get there. And then even this, it's just like, so the ice only came in and covered him? Like, it didn't flood into the whole thing and freeze in one giant block inside?
Yeah.
There was somehow just ice on him. It's like, I don't get it.
Well, that kind of makes sense because he went nose like deep into it, and that's where the cockpit would have been. But still, all of it.
I mean,
just
they get there to the cockpit and they walk to the cockpit, totally free and clear.
Oh yeah.
Until they get to the one pile of ice, that's him.
Well, I mean, they might have cleaned it up earlier, right? They were digging and stuff, or was that?
No, that hole just got cut.
They cut the hole, they come down, and there's no ice in the plane except the ice that is him.
The only thing I can think of is that he was like, that last conversation with Peggy was so fucking baller that I'm just going to go downstairs and chill. I'm just going to literally chill out for the next 40, 50 years. Until, and then when she dies, she'll be like, he was so awesome. And I'm like, yeah.
And then I'm going to bang her niece.
Yeah, I'm going to just take that niece to school.
Future spoilers. Okay, so then to wrap out the movie. Here we get this final scene of him in the crash, and then it cuts.
Howard Stark gets the Tesseract.
Yes.
Yes.
Gets the Tesseract.
He's like, keep looking.
It's very Titanic-y.
Shocker, he didn't fucking find him.
Gets that shit, and then it cuts to him in modern day, but it looks like it's old-timey day.
Yeah.
And then he's in a fake set, and then...
That was a cool... I like that scene.
That was a great moment, yeah.
And he's like, who are you really? Yeah. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, the game on the radio.
I was there.
That was in May 12th, 19, whatever. I was there. You messed up. Like, who are you? And she's like, and then he pops her in the fucking face. And it's like, who are you?
No, he didn't.
Is that not happened?
No. Jesus.
He bursts through the door, and all of a sudden he's in Times Square, and he's like, holy shit.
Awesome.
And all of these Acuras pull up again, and then it's like, I'm Nick Fury. We're sorry.
Bad impression.
Disrespected you. And he's like, who are you? He's like, I said I'm Nick Fury. And then Nick Fury's there. It was dope. And he looks dope as fuck.
70 years.
Yeah, he was like, basically, we wanted to break it in. Which I don't know what their plan was there. Hey, man, you comfortable? You feel like you're in 1945? Guess what? You're not in 1945. You're actually in 2015. Sorry. My bad.
Ease you in, sir. I guess that's a way to do it. But that was a cool scene.
Yeah,
being there. What the fuck's going on? And then credits, and then post-credit scene of him punching a punching bag, and he punches it off, and it's like, that's kind of cool. Nick Fury talks to him. And
he's
then
so strong.
Hard cut to a fucking Avengers sizzle reel.
Next summer.
It's
very odd.
Very fucking odd, but at the time,
it was
awesome.
Fucking insane.
I
remember
being like, let's go.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, seeing all the them together, that was the first time. Fucking rad.
It was so weird. Good.
But it was weird.
Looking back on it now, that's totally weird. But yeah, you're right.
I hated
was hyped
it.
As fuck.
At the time.
Yeah, but not
no,
at the time.
At the time, it was the fucking coolest thing.
It was, awesome.
It was like,
we finally got to
oh
see
my God,
Avengers,
yeah. There was, at that point, it was what, weird. 4 years of buildup or 3 years of buildup?
Well, more than that, with 2008. So yeah. I guess, four total.
3 years.
Going into 2012.
Yeah.
So. Man, that was fantastic. Going through the rigmarole that we do here, did I miss anything? Cameos. Stanley
in there.
Of course, as the World War II general.
I thought he'd be taller.
That's
a funny line.
And the officer sitting next to him is played by Reb Brown, who played Captain America in a pair of made-for-TV movies in 1970.
Oh, that's fun.
Not many other cameos that I got anything of, which is weird, because all the other ones have had a
ton.
They had a bunch of like old Captain America writers that they asked, and no one was interested.
Yeah, Jack Kirby was supposed to do it, right?
Really?
Didn't
want
to do it.
Not
nah,
I'm good. This movie sounds like not going to be good.
Can't imagine Jack Kirby was like, what were you doing, Jack Kirby? What you got better to do than go be in a fucking major motion picture?
That's really all I got for you. So now let's go through the things that we talked about. So we went through plot, the action. I thought most of the action scenes were pretty good, except the end of it. Fucking
I didn't. I didn't see. That's the thing is, I didn't like any of the action sequences, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, even the scene where he's running through the New York streets, I was like, this is okay. It's cool, but the problem is my reference for it. And again, we're all spoiled babies, and we're given way too much. Is the action in fucking Iron Man is my benchmark, and that was way cooler, right?
That's
like
true.
Way cooler. So him,
and even
him jumping
action scenes were really good.
Thor had good, like some good action scenes.
It had very
right?
few of them though.
Very few. That Thor's biggest problem was that it was mostly just a rom com that happened in and amongst.
I thought it lacked the calm.
Oh, I thought it was it was more about the character.
I like
the
action here.
The
I liked the montage. I liked the shield throwing.
I loved
the infiltration when he did. I liked it when he got the 107 out and they did fight together and they were being fun together. I
liked Hydra's like weapons. I like Hydra cool. Hydra was cool. I think
Hydra
in every
was
aspect.
Very cool.
Yeah,
a lot cooler upon second viewing.
I really like Red Skull. I think he was cool.
I think
he was powerful.
He is. Just I'm a bad guy. Like period. I'm a fucking bad guy, and that's cool. But the end. I mean, I just can't.
The end is it's weird, but I feel like that's the first hints of like the Infinity Stones.
It was also weird that he was the one piloting the plane.
Like, well, I mean, he like fucking booked it. As soon as people broke in, he was
point.
Like,
he
"I'm
like,
fucking out."
He like kicked the get out, homie. Yeah. I got this. That's a good point.
I really don't like how they handled it because it's like they fought and they literally just made the bad guy disappear. Like, it's so fucking weird.
I hope someday we get more of that.
I think at the time they were probably hopeful of leaving it open for these sequels and where they're going to go with this. And I really, really hope there's at least some cameo. It doesn't have to be Hugo Weaving, but he's in a jail cell or whatever.
And I'm totally down for that. And if they do that, that's going to be super cool. Regardless of even if he came back in the next movie, I thought the way they handled it was super awkward and not clear. Yeah.
Sure.
He's giving a monologue. They're fighting, and then he's gone.
I think, like, but it's interesting you see it there, but with what Kevin just talked about, right? Like, now it's more clear, and you're like, that is actually kind of cool. That he didn't realize this whole time he had this infinite source of power, but he didn't really know what it was for until he picks it up. And then, of course, all of his, like, all of his ego and his ambition totally fucks him, and he just teleported somewhere else. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
That is. I just feel like that's something that requires build up.
The problem
the
is they don't kill off
point.
Any of these main bad guys, right? Well, so you have to get rid of him somewhere because they never know if you're going to bring him back.
No, the bird guy got blown up.
Which one was the bird guy?
He self-destructed. The Whiplash.
Bird.
I want my bird.
But no, everyone.
Oh, wait. Iron Man's.
Tony Stark. Sorry. Obadiah Stane. Don't worry.
Blow himself up, yeah.
Do we know that he's dead?
I mean, we exploded. Like this. He exploded in like the middle of.
He was just, his head was just. He's like, Toter.
Whiplash dead. Abomination in jail.
But not dead.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Or, well, I mean, some kind of.
Person. And then Loki, sort of we know Loki's not dead.
He's dead inside.
Yeah, dead inside for sure. Mm-hmm. On this Red Skull thing, I don't know how we're doing, sorry. I fucking loved Red Skull.
I love him too. Good. And really excited
part
about
of this,
yeah.
of course, is that Hugo Weaving is awesome.
He's so good.
He's he's great.
He played that character
perfectly. It, and it was very much like, it was, whoa, Hogan. Like, it was like a Colonel Klink Nazi guy, but I was like, this is fun. Yeah. I'm having fun with him.
Yeah, so I liked that he had grand ambitions and had a plan and some sort of strategy, right? Like, one of the things that I thought was cool is obviously, like, World War II is terrifying because of the Nazis. So what happens when you invent a character that the Nazis are scared of? I think that's really fucking cool. And this guy has this, well, it's not cool, it's terrifying, but this guy has a plan that he's actually executing, and it's fucking, like, he's going to fuck over Hitler and do all these things. I think that's pretty cool. I thought it was a lot more fleshed out than jack me up with the serum. I'm ready for it. If I had the body that I had 5 years ago with the knowledge that I have right now, I'd still be super short.
Well, one of the things I read in the trivia is that in the formula, like the unperfected super serum formula, like fucks up your. So with the Red Skull, it made him red, and it did the same things with Abomination, where it was growing the bones out of there. So, like, I like the little similarities.
Yeah, you're going.
Yeah,
that is cool. The comedy for this movie, I feel like it had enough. You know, like, it definitely wasn't a lot. It's not as funny as like an Iron Man movie. But
I mean,
like,
I thought it had the right amount for what they were doing.
And I think it built the Captain America character that we now know, like the whole fondue joke.
How it kept coming back
and stuff. It's like that fits into his character, and I feel like they kind of overuse that type of shit in later movies. But in this
language,
like,
No, it wasn't.
It was so funny.
The one in this one of. Hey man, you sure you know what you're doing? He's like, yeah, I've knocked out Hitler over 200 times. Yeah. He turns and walks away. It's like, that's so really fucking funny.
I'd be like, what? Are you talking about?
They all were like, what?
In terms of this movie standing alone, you know, I think it was an origin movie that they had to get out of the way to explain Captain America so that he can be who we know him to be. And it's so funny because it's like, looking back, if I just watched that movie, I'm like, Captain America's fucking pretty lame. But then from Avengers on, it's like, man, him and Tony are really the focal point of this franchise.
Yeah, this was definitely the first one that we've watched where I'm like, this movie was better because of everything that came after it.
1,000% If you would have said... That was my biggest takeaway from this, because I've talked shit about Captain America on GOG and stuff when we talked about it, and I hadn't watched this one in forever, so I had almost forgotten, not that he was small, Steve Rogers or whatever, but who Steve Rogers was before he's Captain America, and I feel like part of that I do put on the movies, even though we're watching them now and I'm seeing so many different things in them, but the fact that Winter Soldier and Civil War and Avengers to an extent didn't remind me more of that, because, like, again, Stanley Tucci's character of being like, you know, I mean, whatever is bad, it amplifies, whatever is good, it amplifies.
Right.
Promise me you'll never forget who you are, kind of thing. Like, that. When I have that lens on thinking about everything, and when I knowing everything I know now, coming back to it, it is like, oh, fuck.
Like, he's not just a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good dude.
I still hate the fact that he's like, yes, man. Yes, general. No, general. Like, and I mean, granted, the movies start deviating from that when they get where we are now, where he's like, no matter, whatever. But it's so hard for me to connect with this guy who's, but I don't know, whatever. This movie, like, I super enjoyed this one. Like, I really had a great time with this one. I like this one a lot. I loved it way more. I remember leaving the theater and like, that was fine, whatever. But it was because I knew nothing about him and didn't know anything going forward, where I'm sorry, coming back knowing so much, I felt like I enjoyed this one way more.
I still think one of my most favorite parts of the movie was the speech that Tucci gives him before he injects him, like the day before, the night before.
Oh, God, and the drink thing.
I thought that was such
hilarious.
A great monologue, like, and then it ends with that great joke of,
I don't have to do this.
I'm going to take both of these drinks. That's probably my favorite part of the movie.
And then, universe building, we kind of touched on a lot of that stuff. But the whole beginning thing with the Tesseract and connecting it to Thor, and then obviously the later parts connected to it.
I think this one...
Peggy Carter herself.
Peggy Carter in general, and Howard Stark being in it, which I think is a real key thing, and that's super cool.
Zola being in it, or what's his
name? Zola.
Zola being in it. Like, I feel like this one has so much universe building for the future,
mm-hmm.
where it's like Winter Soldier's in it.
Yeah, no, yeah, and that's so true. And like that's super.
Yeah,
super
he awesome. He survives because they were experimenting on him. Like yeah. we see that, like him saving from the experimentation.
And that was the other thing too. Of like, I remember at the time being like, "Oh, that's Bucky Barnes. He eventually becomes the."
I didn't put that together.
He falls off the thing, and you're like, "Oh no, I guess he was."
And I was like, "I'm sure they'll bring him back." Yeah, but it's like you don't. I don't think about how. Yeah, they'll bring him back, and he's going to be the star of like two movies.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like I'm watching it and thinking about that. And I'm like, oh, thinking about Spider-Man. Like, oh, you got a metal arm. That's so cool. It's like. Fuck, this is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Marvel's done with this fucking shit is fucking cool.
It's fucking cool.
Real quick, I want to just talk about the special effects because a lot of the effects in like the, I want to say like the second half of the movie are kind of like shitty. When they do the montage,
mm-hmm.
it like, why is he on green when they do the, but like, holy shit, the thin.
Yeah, you can tell that's where a lot of the budget for the effects went.
Dude, that looked so good.
There's only a few times where I looked at it, I'm like, that doesn't look right.
There were a few scenes.
But there were so many more where I was like, that was fucking awesome.
And he's in that movie a fair amount.
He needed, like, anytime he's standing still, I'm like, you gotta get him moving, because this looks not great when he's standing still.
Well, they did it in three different processes, apparently. Yeah.
Like, when he's moving, those are the scenes that I'm like, this looks really impressive and convincing. Like, holy shit.
Yeah,
because
you can tell there were a couple times you're like, listen, we are out of fucking money, okay? Go raid the vending machine, get as many quarters as you can, and for the love of God, Chris Evans, you just sit like this. Don't move. And try not to move your face either. Just kind of look down a little bit and look up a little bit. But anything like this, we can't do it. We don't have money for it.
You lost me in the vending machine?
I was just go get extra cash.
Money.
Go get some spare cash.
Money.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It was a stupid joke. But like, yeah, that process is very, 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 very expensive. And even at the time, right? If you remember that a similar process of like facial Winkle reconstruction like that, they did it on the Winklevoss twins, they did it on Benjamin Button, but they also did it on Tron Legacy, and that ruined that fucking movie. It was so bad in Tron Legacy, so was the rest of the movie, that it ruined the movie. That it ruined the movie.
But you guys, do you want to do your little
Ragu Bagu Vids is back. You can follow us on twitter.com/RagubaguVids.
What are you up to right now? What are you up to?
I tweeted a week ago. I just tweeted out.
I want my book.
I want my book.
Yeah, I read
that's really funny.
That was a couple weeks ago. I would rank Red Skull at the top. I think he's my favorite villain.
I'm in with that. 100%.
You know what? I know that I'm not a part of this officially because Kevin and I were never actually voted in. Even
though
I'm president,
remember,
you are
again. They didn't detest our vote.
They didn't
fight our vote.
I protested.
It was after the week.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
It doesn't work.
I would put him. I'm
actually nominating Nick for a founder. Actually,
thank you. I'd like to nominate Kevin as co-founder. Thank you.
Some really exciting times for us.
It's nice being at the ground level. I don't know. I would say that Loki was
right now what we have is
excellent. Here we go. This is what we need.
Number one, Rockwell Mickey. Number two, Obadiah. Number three, Loki. Number four, Abomination.
Abomination
should be much higher than
You know what? You should have been on Ragu Bagu.
I was on it. You guys just ignored me.
And I agree. I think based on all that, I would say Red Skull at number one.
Okay. Can we move up Abomination?
Wait. Greg and I can move whatever we want. You guys.
Abomination does not deserve to move.
At least higher than Obadiah.
No.
Obadiah is fucking
awful. I feel like Loki's a better villain.
But we're talking about Loki in Thor 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not talking about going forward.
He kind of sucks in Thor.
That's a hard no right there.
Exactly.
I like that Tim walked away for this
currently,
part.
Currently, he's got to hide his pee somewhere for his three fucking
minutes. Right, here we go. What's
currently,
the
Ragu Bagu Vids standings are number five, Abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Obadiah Stane. Number two, Rockwell/Mickey. Number one, Red Skull.
Okay.
There we go. There's the rankings.
That's ridiculous.
Follow us on Twitter.
Bring up the real ranking of the MCU thus far. Cool, Greg. Thank you very much for that. At number one, we have Iron Man. Number two, we have Iron Man 2. Number three, we have The Incredible Hulk. And number four. What?
I don't agree with this ranking,
this is what
but that's fine.
We voted.
You got outvoted.
Maybe
you
show
can't
up to
do
work.
That. Don't be contesting
don't,
the vote.
Yeah,
that's
don't,
what, I mean, that's
we
fine.
Here, you we got outvoted. Everybody got their chance to win.
You can have your vote. I will have my personal vote.
A lot of games.
No, don't
that's
do that.
Not
this isn't
Ragu
Bagu.
We're doing this together.
Listen, a lot of games left in the season. Anything can happen. You have to understand, we've got quite a few more to put on there. Anything can get shifted around. You see what I'm saying? It's not going to go down
a solid
up
point.
List.
So, okay. Thor coming in at number four. So now we are
wait,
adding...
how does your list deviate real quick? Just because
Thor is number three and Hulk is four.
Thor is number
three.
Thor 2 is number
time,
three?
So
you got outvoted. So this is definitive and it stands. We're trying to add Captain America, the first Avenger,
mm-hmm.
to this list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do we think it stands?
for me, and it pains me to say because I love Chris Hemsworth so much.
There it is.
And I really did enjoy Thor on the last one. But again, looking back at Captain America and what it means for the rest of the series and knowing a lot more about the Tesseract and all and the Infinity Stones and all these things, I got to put it one step above Thor.
But so, you think under Incredible Hulk?
Oh, see, no. See, I think it's number three. I think it's an easy number three,
I think it
too.
Nudges down Incredible Hulk also.
Because I think it's definitely under Iron Man 2. I think Iron Man 2
yes.
is better.
Yeah, yeah.
More entertaining movie, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, more entertaining. And that's the thing. Is like overall, when I'm looking at it with the world building, and I did like Whiplash a lot more than I remembered, and Tony Stark is just
he's just so, so fun to watch. To the MCU. He's so fun to watch.
Is it better than Incredible Hulk? I mean, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. I mean, I would put Captain America at number two. I would bump down Iron Man 2 and put. I would go Iron Man, Captain America, Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk, Thor.
So do we all agree that it's better than Incredible Hulk?
Yes.
Okay. So it's at least.
But I don't think it's better than Hulk.
What? Shut up! Why do you want to be this guy?
Isn't that what you just? Why do you want to be this guy?
I don't. Yeah, there was a movie, Ang Lee's Hulk. That's what he's talking about. Oh, he's making jokes.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
I'm confused.
You're also
okay.
Hot.
So okay, so we have it right now. It's at least
three.
It's at least number three.
So then now
the question is it better than Iron Man 2?
I think if we're looking at like what Nick was saying, we're looking forward at the whole like the universe as a whole.
No, but no. We're looking at this. We're comparing it to these movies.
I still think I.
But
still,
I mean, what am I like? That's the thing. Like, talking with you guys now, thinking about how it like Civil War fits into it, mm-hmm. and all the little references that they what?
No, keep going. Sorry.
All the references that they put into it that like would further like come out and be stories. I think that it's better than Iron Man 2.
See, I think Iron Man 2. I mean, I would agree with you on that because I think we're all on the same page on that. But I just can't get Iron Man 2 is just a much more fun and entertaining movie to me. Yeah. The action sequences are so much more fun. It was awesome seeing War Machine and Tony fighting and Iron Man fighting at the end. I just through and through that movie kept me coming back to like I always do this thing where I'm like I'm gonna pick up my phone and check trivia and. Every 5 seconds, I was like, no, I'm going to watch this Monaco race thing. This is cool. I just think it's a much better, for an action adventure film, it is so much better paced and more well done.
And see, this is, I'm not trying to be this guy about it, but I think that's maybe where I differentiate, right? Is that I feel Captain America is such a great comic book movie. I feel like the coloring and the palette they use and the set pieces they use to me really feel like I'm watching a comic book on screen.
See, I think Iron Man 2.
I'm more with Iron Man 2. Like especially when you look at like the final fights of War Machine and Tony Stark together doing something like that's comic.
Maybe lead with that. I only got one battery or whatever.
I loved all that.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Everything you're saying. So sorry, I agree with what you're saying in terms of like looking at the others on this movie. I'm saying when we're making these rankings, we're not thinking about where the other ones fit until the time comes for that.
When Zola and Schmidt leave and they escape, and then Tony fucking
not to scratch.
Howard.
Yeah, no, Captain America, like you think he dies or whatever. I paused the movie there because I needed to go pee. How much movie left is left in this movie? 48 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, God, this is dragging, man. And
so dragging.
That's why I have it at number four.
You have it at four.
So you have it underneath the Incredible Hulk.
No, because I have Hulk. I have Thor at three.
No.
I have
not
Thor
doing,
at
you've
three.
Lost the you vote. Lost the
you
fight.
Lost the vote.
I have Thor at three.
God, you're just confusing.
The official rankings are now Iron Man.
What
Iron
if we
Man
did it
two.
Mathematically?
I mean, is that the case? Or, like, do we need to vote?
I think I'm the only one pushing for two for Captain
America. I was also pushing for two. Like, I honestly believe.
So, then final vote. Who thinks that Captain America 2 deserves Captain America, the first Avenger. Deserves the second spot in between Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2.
I do.
We raise our hands?
Yeah.
I didn't know. So it's just the two of us. Like,
so, okay.
Yeah.
So everyone else thinks it takes the third spot?
The final rankings as of now. Number one, Iron Man. Number two, Iron Man 2. Number three, Captain America, the first Avenger. Number four, The Incredible Hulk. And number five, Thor.
That was about to Ragnarok.
Next week's movie. The Avengers.
Captain America on the plane ride back from Canada.
Okay.
And the in-flight entertainment system had Ragnarok on it. And it was so hard not to finish
Why didn't
Cap and
just
go watch
do it.
Because I know I want to watch it in
precious.
I don't want to come back and be like, all right, it's my third viewing of Ragnarok. Yeah. Now it means less.
I'm the same, yeah. I'm the same way.
Oh, man, I've already
Ragnarok's
seen Ragnarok.
Be so
like
high
four
on the
times.
List. So high.
So high on the list.
Cannot wait. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this week. Like I said, the homework for next week is The Avengers. Let us know in the comments below what you think about our ranking and what your ranking would be. Cannot wait to see them in all the discussion. Again, please subscribe, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and on podcast services, look up Kinda Funny Reviews. Till next week.
Have a marvelous day. Thor is better than Hulk.
Where's my bird?
Ah,
where's my bird?
Looks like somebody's ready for a mission.
You got a mission for me?
I do. Should eat this fudge. That's good.
I don't get the joke.
It's weird. It's a weird joke.